This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.
40 years ago, a teenage babysitter named Laurie Strode was terrorized on screen by a mass killer.
Just listen to me. When you go down the stairs and out the front door, I want you to go down the street to the McKenzie's house. I want you to tell them to call the police and tell them to send them over here.
This Halloween, Laurie's back in theaters, once again facing off against Michael Myers, and their original confrontation still haunts her.
It took priority over your family. It cost you your family.
If the way I raised your mother means that she hates me, but that she's prepared for the horrors of this world, then I can live with that.
Viewers across the country have been turning out in droves to watch the older, wiser version of Laurie, played by the actor Jamie Lee Curtis. The new Halloween boasts the biggest movie opening ever for a female lead over 55. But while it's exciting to see Curtis return to the role, the movie's credits have spooked some female horror fans. The original Halloween was co-written by writer-producer Deborah Hill, and the 2018 version was written by three men. I have two guests here to discuss how women fit into the horror genre. Mary Lambert is the director of the classic Stephen King adaptation, Pet Sematary. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
And Monica Castillo is a freelance film critic for RogerEbert.com. Monica, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start by reading a quote from the producer, Jason Blum, who produced the new Halloween, along with a lot of other horror movies, including Get Out and Paranormal Activity. A couple weeks ago, when a writer for the website Polygon asked him why he hadn't produced any horror movies made by female directors, Blum said this, and I'm quoting here, quote, "There are not a lot of female directors, period, and even less who are inclined to do horror." He apologized for that comment soon after, but I'd love to get both of your reactions to it.
I mean, it sounds so much like the conversation that's going around Hollywood where people are saying, oh, I don't know where the directors of colors are. I don't know where women directors are. And the problem is that they're out there and people need to actually take the time to find them.
Mary, what are your thoughts when you heard that?
Well, I'm glad he apologized later for the remark because it's just not true. I mean, I've tried to pitch projects over there and like been sort of relegated to somebody low level that listened to my pitch and that was it, you know? Hmm. They know I'm out here.
Well, you've done it. You've actually done it. So that's the proof right there.
You exactly.
Know, I want to ask you, Monica, you've actually seen the new film, the new Halloween, and I will be honest, I'm a scaredy cat, so I'm afraid to see some of these films. But I'm curious about how the new film dealt with the main character's trauma compared to the original film. What did you think?
Well, I mean, the original film was such a landmark moment, and it really like kind of kicked off a sort of like serial killer subgenre in essence. But now they're looking at what are the after effects of all that? What happens when decades later come in and Laurie is still dealing with that trauma? She never got help for any of the things that she experienced, and it transferred down to the generation. So it affected how she related to her daughter and how she relates to her granddaughter. And I thought it was a very interesting concept. And I think what a lot of people want to see is what that would have looked like in the hands of a woman writer, of a woman director.
And the original Halloween, as we mentioned in the introduction, was co-written by a woman, Deborah Hill. Mary, I'm wondering, does that movie feel different from other horror classics that didn't have women behind the camera? What's your perspective on that?
I mean, it was co-written by Deborah Hill, who was kind of a real force. I worked with Deborah on a television anthology series back in the 90s, and I knew her, and she was really committed to her profession. She was committed to the creative aspect of it. So it had to have affected it. I mean, she helped to create a seminal piece of filmmaking, you know, a character that lives in the imagination of millions of people.
And Mary, again, you directed Pet Sematary. I'm wondering, what has your experience been in as a woman in the genre of horror in Hollywood?
You know, I had a really big success early in my career with the Stephen King adaptation. I had a great experience working with Stephen, who I wouldn't have gotten to direct the movie if it weren't for Stephen. He had control over who would be the director. He had the final say on that. And I met with him, and I know that he promoted me. I know that's the reason that I was hired. So I had a big success with that, and it led nowhere, you know?
And we hear this a lot, as Monica pointed out earlier, when we're talking about communities of color or underrepresented communities in Hollywood in general. I want to pivot a moment here to the actual, to the content again and how women are portrayed. And Monica, I'm curious about your thoughts on this horror movie trope known as the final girl. Can you tell us what that is and what it represents?
Sure. So that's the trend when you're saying you're watching a horror film and then there's usually only one survivor and she tends to be a woman. And, you know, it's supposed to be this big empowering figure that she survived everything that took out her friends or took out her loved ones. And my take on it right now is that it's kind of ossified for me. It's kind of stuck in the past. I don't, you know, see it really progressing that much in the films that I've seen recently. What I'm interested in is something like this recent Halloween movie where it's not just one Laurie Strode at the very end. It's a united front of women. It's the three generations of Strode who are standing up against Michael Myers. Mm.
So, Mary, in terms of the final girl, having been, you know, you did Pet Sematary, what do you think about that role for women in horror? Is it empowering? Is it supposed to be empowering? Do you think it's a trope that needs to be done away with?
Well, it can be empowering. I mean, the person who's left is the person who the sequel is about. I mean, I personally wanted to see a Pet Sematary sequel that was about Ellie Creed, but Paramount didn't want to do that, especially back in the 90s, because they didn't want to do a movie that had a woman as the protagonist, or especially a girl. Usually it's a virgin. Neglected to say that. Usually it's the final virgin that has to kill the monster. And that's pretty ancient. I mean, that goes to the heart of most mythologies, you know, from prehistoric times. So I don't know if you can do away with a character like that who's a part of our subconscious mythology. I think the woman usually is the one who's left to clean up the mess. In my experience, that's who cleans the mess up, the women. I don't see it's something we need to get rid of. I just think we need to take a little more interest in what's going on emotionally and psychologically with the women. That would be more interesting to me. That's the direction I'd like to see it go in.
And interestingly, the fact that you say, I mean, I personally am very afraid of these, you know, films that have gratuitous violence and blood and chainsaws and all that kind of stuff. But I am interested in thrillers that are a little, like Get Out was really interesting to me because it had less guts and more sort of psychological thriller. Mm-hmm. But Monica, I'm curious, what kind of horror stories would you want to see women either in or developing? Or is it more of a thriller if we want to get rid of this final girl trope? Like, how do you see that evolving?
I want them to have the opportunity to be able to do all kinds of stories, whether it be super bloody, whether it be super violent, or even if it's just a thriller, a slow burn, just waiting for, you know, things to pop up or anything like that. That's the problem, is that we haven't been able to see women get those kind of opportunities, and we haven't seen producers investing that kind of money in those projects.
And Monica, are there any folks that you've got your eye on right now in terms of projects or directors or actors that we should be paying attention to in this genre?
Oh, certainly. I was really excited by the movie Raw, which was a coming-of-age story about a cannibal. Alice Lowe's Prevenge, which is a British sort of horror comedy about a pregnant woman whose fetus drives her to go on a serial killing spree. There's a lot of people doing interesting stuff in this space, and they're just not getting the same attention or maybe funding, promotion. They're not getting those Blumhouse deals.
Do you think audiences care about who's behind the camera? Do you think it matters to them?
I think once they see what's out there, they will. There's, you know, all kinds of things that just don't make it to theaters, that just doesn't make it to the Midwest or doesn't even make it to, you know, outside of New York or LA. And I would love for people to check those out.
I think audiences relate to great storytelling and to being entertained in a new way and to having ideas, subconscious ideas tapped in their own psyche and unleashed. And that's, you know, that's what you get when you put women behind the camera and give women a voice. They don't have to know it's a woman that did it. But I think they relate to the, you know, that women have different set of social experiences and they tell stories in a different way. And it's interesting. It doesn't mean that the other way is no good either. It needs to be a little more 50-50.
Mary Lambert is the director of the classic Stephen King adaptation, Pet Sematary. Thanks so much, Mary.
Thank you so much.
And Monica Castillo is a freelance film critic for RogerEbert.com. Great to talk to you, Monica.
Great talking with you, too.
Hi, this is Gina from Philadelphia. I think women are both stereotyped and empowered by horror films. Many of these films include a typically hot female, either scantily clad or nude, who is murdered with little or no character development. The empowerment part tends to come in at the end with the final girl. This is where we see the magic of them fighting back. There are so many final girls to choose from. We have classics like Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween, Heather Langenkamp from Nightmare on Elm Street. Also shout-outs to Neve Campbell in Scream and Ashley Lawrence in Hellraiser.
Hi, my name is Jerisa Lamont. I'm calling from Elizabethtown, Kentucky. I love Joe Beth from Poltergeist. And yes, women are stereotyped in horror movies. That's why I'm glad Jamie Lee Curtis was awesome and broke the mold. Happy Halloween.
Hi, this is Amber from Seattle. Women have always been stereotyped, in American movies at least, as the weak, fragile first victim. But Descent from 2005 out of England really flips the script on that. This group of really intelligent, quick-thinking, physically strong women do battle in the darkness of a cavern with a horde of slimy, human-adjacent monsters. Highly recommend.
Lots of calls from our audience on this topic today, and we love hearing from you. Keep the calls coming at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And that's our show for today. Have a good Halloween, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.